I love these classes. You know, these are the last days, and the harvest is ready to be harvested. But it'll take the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to do it. And, you know, the things that he give us now is pivotal. Because that he only has a short time to work. And I guess about several months ago, I think last fall, the Lord spoke to me and said, the day is set. And I told my son, and his eyebrows went up. And he said one of his friends told me about his youth pastor. His youth pastor was laying on the couch praying for a message. And the Lord told him the very same thing. The day is set. And so with that in mind, harvest is ripe. And we'll, you know, to reel them in, we have to use the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Now, with what Brother Ray was saying, there's a darkness out there. People are persuaded the way that they're persuaded. We mentioned this morning how David ran into Saul. He wanted to murder David. Jesus ran into the Pharisees. They were persuaded against the plan of God. But Jesus, he was true to it. He remained true just like David. He never argued with the Lord. He did what he asked. And he's building on that same foundation. And whatever the Holy Spirit guides us to do, we can do it as a king would do it. He made us to be kings and priests. And what he does is going to be different than what's already accepted. It's going to be more unique. I believe every work that he sends forth, it's going to work together, but it will work, it'll be like a snowflake. You know, every snowflake is different in its own way, but the work works together the same. And with that in mind, you know, the Holy Spirit always gives us, he'll guide us in, according to the Father's plan. And I thank him for it. Last week, last time we were in Acts chapter 27, the Holy Spirit he gave warning through Paul that there was going to be this storm. And the people went, they went the way of their own course. We made it to chapter, to verse 25. He said, wherefore, this, now they're in the storm. And Paul knew that they were going to lose the ship. And Paul, in verse 24, he said, fear not. What the Lord said, Paul, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. And then, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall even be as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. They were listening for the echo. They'd make a sound, and then they'd count. And when the echo come back, they knew how many fathoms away they were. So they knew how to navigate. They couldn't see the land because it was too far away. I've been out to sea before, and about 30 miles out, you can't see the land because of the circumference of the earth. So they sounded, and when the echo came back, they knew how far away they were. This whole thing is an example of God relating to man. Some people will hear him and stick with his word, and many people will stick to their own persuasions. And this is the wrestling match that we suffer for. Paul told them that this is not going to go well, but they didn't believe him. They stuck with their own persuasions. Well, to reap the harvest, to finish God's work, we can't afford to stick with our own persuasions or anybody else's. We have to be moved by the Holy Spirit in order to not make shipwreck. That's the theme of this whole lesson. Failure to listen is the worst failure. But when we receive what he's saying and act on it, see, then our anointing is activated through obedience. Faithful obedience always activates the anointing. When the Lord anoints us and he gives us something to do and we act on it faithfully, that anointing is activated. We have God's ability to do something. But if we do something else, all right, we turn the switch off. It's there, but it's not useful. We live by our faith. We activate our anointing by faith. So we have to do what he gives us to do so that we don't have shipwreck. But now this is what always happens. People that did make the wrong decision, they want to be corrected. All right, now they're in a point where they're beginning to listen to Paul in this storm. Now they, you know, Paul told them not to do it. The word came to pass. Now we need to listen to this man. He just had a vision from the Lord. The angel told him that, you know, that he had to appear before Caesar. That provided hope. Now they're beginning to get it. Okay, verse 28. Where they sounded and found it 28 fathoms, and when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, which is the back of the ship, and wished for the day. And the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. And when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Now they didn't argue as much as they did before. Verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take food, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. And there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Whoa. And when he had thus spoken, not even a hair. It didn't look like it. Mm-hmm. But they didn't lose any hair. They didn't get the hair cut. Now this situation, this is the challenge that you're gonna face. It's never gonna look right. If you're depending on something to look right, you can forget it. When you follow God, it's not going to look grand. It's not going to look like you may expect. Then things will come, it won't stay that way. But God does everything in seed form. Even the teachings of Jesus, it doesn't look like it'll work. Turning the other cheek to me when I was 20 years old didn't look like it'll work. I thought about it. This is how I reasoned. I said, Jesus left heaven, died for me, and he said, turn the other cheek. I said, this is exactly what I told him. I said, Lord, I'm going to do what you said do. I don't really know why I'm doing it. I don't even believe it'll work, but I'm going to do it because you said it. Now, I received that word, and I knew that if you say you trust him, do what he said do. So, I didn't fully understand around 2008 why he said it, but as I acted on it.
See, that's an example where you doubted in your head, mm-hmm. but you really believed it in your heart, because you were going to do what he said no matter what.
Yeah.
But you were doubting it. I don't know how it's going to work. It ain't going to work, mm-hmm. but it did work.
And it worked.
Because you believed in your spirit.
Yeah.
That was true faith.
Well, that what Peter did too, when he told, when the Lord told him, hey, cash your net over on the right side. He said, nevertheless, he said, I called all the
same attitude, same thing.
Because you said it, that's what I'm going to be doing, because you said it.
And now, that word came and seemed, it didn't look like it was going to work out. I grew up fighting, if I had to fight. And I didn't let people, and two things bothered me. If they tried to take, you know, somebody tried to take advantage or pick a fight, I'd fight. I didn't go around looking for a fight. And if somebody picked on somebody that couldn't fight back, that bothered me. So, turn the other cheek was foreign, you know. But I said, I'm going to do this because you said do it. What happened after that, I learned so much, and it worked so beautifully. And but I never asked the Lord why he said it. I preached it, I taught it. But one day in 08, I said, Lord, why did you put that in the Bible, you know, turn the other cheek? He said, I don't want my people to provoke violence. And I found out you can, you know, it goes in line with what Solomon said in Proverbs, soft answer turns away wrath. And you're not turning the other cheek because you're a coward. You turn the other cheek to spare life.
Amen.
To keep things from escalating.
And you let God fight for you instead of you.
Mm-hmm. Now, a man told me about an incident he had. A guy pulled a knife on him, said that the girl he was dancing with was his girlfriend. And then a gang came around, and he wanted to kill him. Years, and then he met him later, and ended up, he confronted him about it. They talked it out, but both of them, one's a preacher and the other one got saved.
Amen.
But what if somebody got killed that day? You know, it could have went south, but both people got saved. I explained, when you're out there in the world, the enemy, he can detect when people have a good, salvageable heart, and he tried to get them in trouble to get them out of his way while they're out there. That's why we don't, you know, he said turn the other cheek. Now, this is an example. Everything that God said do works big. Look, it starts small, but it works big. I can tell you testimony after testimony of just because I obeyed Jesus, things happen that work big. It didn't stay small. All right? Paul's, it didn't look like they were going to live. Paul said, he said, wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat, and they were all of good cheer, and they also took some food. They also took some meat, they ate. And we were in all in the ship, 316 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up anchors, they committed themselves into the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made to the shore. And falling into place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, and the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. This was a serious storm. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves into the sea to get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land because they followed the counsel of the Holy Spirit given by Paul. This is the same pattern. When we follow God in seed form, when we take him at his word like a king, we're not taking it like a man. See, men think about themselves and their family. A king thinks of everything. A king is always on his mind, I got to protect my country. All right, the harvest out there is your country. When you follow God, that's the path that's going to protect them, just like Paul protected the people on that ship. Paul operated just like a king and just like a priest. He represented the people to God, and he represented God to the people. Amen. And everybody, not a hair had fallen off their head. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word and the results of obeying you. Help us to continue and go forward. Understand all, the more we understand you, the more we'll follow you. Help us to understand the heart of your will. Help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.